It's 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Hear the word of the Lord. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others, and if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy living of lawless men, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing their punishment. This is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desires of the sinful nature and despise authority. Bold and arrogant, these men are not afraid to slander celestial beings. Yet even angels, though they are stronger and more powerful, do not bring slanderous accusations against such beings in the presence of the Lord. May the Lord add his blessing to this, the reading and preaching of his holy word. After high school, a number of years ago, won't go into how long ago, but a while ago, I worked as a bank teller. And at that time, I spent a full week training on how to become a bank teller. One day, we were made aware of counterfeit money. We were allowed to hold fake bills and examine them, to look at them, to sense how the weight of them and the feel of them. But that was only for a brief time. Most of the time, we looked at the real thing, how real money felt, how real money looked. And in some ways, Peter, who we talked about last week, is providing them with a letter of remembrance. That after he goes, he wants to make sure they remember what is important. He spends a few moments examining the fake, enabling them to remember what the fake are like, so then they can spend the rest of their days appreciating and recognizing what is real. And we are called to do the same thing as we come to 2 Peter chapter 2 and 3. There is a shift where he begins to talk about these false teachers and false teaching. And we would be wise to hear the description of these false teachers and the destiny of these false teachers. So let's begin with verse 1. It is an outline of the false teacher. What Peter says here My pages keep blowing back and forth. But Peter says here, there were false prophets among the people. In the Old Testament, there were false teachers, false prophets, and there will be false teachers among you. And then he goes into a rather lengthy description of these false teachers. They will infiltrate the church with destructive heresies. The first thing he says is that they are devious. They are bringing in something alongside. Secretly introducing is the only time this word is used in the New Testament. Really means to bring in alongside. And really what Peter is talking about here is the idea of smuggling. They are devious, these false teachers. They are bringing the truth, and maybe even mostly the truth, but part of their teaching is falsehood, smuggled in, contraband. They are smuggling falsehood into the church. They may say all sorts of things, but then they throw in, "Don't you know that God helps those who help themselves?" Which is not biblical. It's from Aesop's fables. Or they may be speaking of these sorts of passages. Maybe speaking about verse 11, even angels, although they are stronger and more powerful, do not bring slanderous accusations against such beings in the presence of the Lord. After all, fools rush in where angels fear to tread, which again is not biblical. It's by Alexander Pope, a 1700s philosopher, political expert, thinker of that time. We have to be careful that we do not hear and accept smuggled in scripture, smuggled in truth, falsehoods. We have to examine the scriptures and say, wait a minute, does the Bible actually say that? Because the false teachers are devious and they smuggle in things. In particular, they smuggle in heresy. They teach error. They introduce things that are divisive or factional. Things that they know will divide. They deny, in particular, the redemption by Christ. They bring in heresies, even denying the sovereign power that bought us, that redeemed us, that claimed us. They infiltrate the church with destructive heresies, being devious and teaching error that produces destruction. They were intent on dismantling the faith of their hearers, and they were, by extension, demolishing their own faith in the process. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, Peter says, and their destruction has not been sleeping. They'll infiltrate the church with destructive heresies. And the difficulty is that Peter says many will follow them. Many will continue in their destructive ways. Verse 2, many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. Their popularity will be great. Many will follow their examples, their licentiousness, their physical, sensual, sensory proclivities will be imitated. People will say, if they who are teachers have no problem with their fleshly acts, then why should I? And their impact will be disastrous because the way of truth, the whole of Christianity, will be blasphemed, will be mocked and ridiculed, will be put aside. If this is how Christians act, if this is what Christians believe, and perhaps we can see that in social media, in various places where the church is being blasphemed, mocked and ridiculed because there are those who are professing false teachings smuggled in just to stir up views. And they will be shamed. Ultimately, what the false teachers are doing. Verse 3, in their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Motivated by greed. In other words, they make their living on a created curriculum. They are given provisions in order to continue on in their falsehood. They're exploiting the believers for personal gain with made up stories. The word here is plastos or plastic. Stories that are fabricated. Stories that are handmade, hand fashioned, human invention, to the point where they have become bold and arrogant, according to verses 10 and 11. They slander heavenly beings, something that even angels, although have a right to do, would not do themselves. It is God's place to judge and God alone. So if we know what the false teachers are like, that they'll infiltrate the church with destructive heresies and many will follow their ways and they'll do it by exploiting the faithful, then we'll be wise to resist them. We can spot the smuggled, shun the shameful ways, and avoid their arrogance. And in this way, we can remain faithful. In verses 4 through 10, it explains to us why we ought to be resisting them. Because their outcome is known. In verses 4 through 10, there is this interplay. If God did not spare, but if God rescued, if God protected, then God knows what he's doing. If God did not spare sinful angels, this is the same Jewish tradition mentioned in Jude that we looked at a few weeks ago, of the visiting angels of Genesis 6, 1 through 4. And I'm not saying that Genesis 6, 1 through 4 talks about visiting angels. I'm saying that at the time, the Jewish teaching of that day was that angels came and had relations with human women and opposed God's divine authority. They took what was not theirs. They denied God and opposed God's divine authority of saying, this you can have and this you cannot. If God did not spare the ancient world, Peter includes outside of Jude the account of Noah's generation. The world being covered by flooding water and the ungodly destroyed because they ignored God's directives. God tried to get their attention. God tried to assist them in turning away from ungodliness, and they refused. And again, going back to what Jude said, Peter repeats, if God did not spare Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed by fire and brimstone, Peter says literally, they were covered in ash to catastrophe. They were consumed by divine fire because human beings were desiring relationships with other bodies and disregarded God's design and purposes. If God did not spare angels, if God did not spare an entire generation of people, if God did not spare a pagan city, but instead God protected Noah. He and his family, his wife, his children, and their wives were protected. I'm sure we know the story of Noah. He heard and heeded God, built an ark, collected up animals of every kind, and he was delivered through the ark. If God rescued Lot and his wife when the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, the region of Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, Lot and his wife were rescued. Lot's wife looked back and was destroyed. But he accepted God's deliverance. Abraham said, you need to leave today. Do not look back. Do not take anything with you. And Lot, after being tormented by the sin of so many for so long, said, I will leave this test because God will rescue me. If God did not spare all these but protected those who trust him, it says in verse 9, if this is so, and it is so, God knows how to rescue the godly. God knows the trials that we are enduring, just like he knew the trials of Noah and Lot. He knows that sometimes our message is dismissed and we are mocked. He knows that our neighbors are flaunting their ungodliness. He knows the culture of sin in which we are existing. And he will redeem our lives and deliver us from evil. God knows how to rescue the godly. And God knows how to hold the unrighteous for judgment. God knows the character of his creation. And we would be fools if we thought that ignorance of the truth is an excuse for disobedience. We have verses like this that say, God knows the hearts of the righteous. He knows the hearts of the unrighteous. He rescues the godly and he punishes the ungodly. The wicked will experience punishment because God will certainly judge his people. But that judgment will come in relation to Christ. And if our righteousness is in Christ, if our freedom from sin is bought by the blood of Christ, we will be delivered. And if our sin is exposed and unconfessed and unrepentant, we will be held for judgment. It's especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire of the sinful nature and despise authority. In other words, what Peter is saying is especially the false teachers, especially the ones that know the truth of God and twist it for their own personal gain. The danger of accepting false teaching is that we will experience the punishment of God. But if we know where the false teachers are headed, we'll be wise to resist them and know that God will rescue the righteous and punish the prurient. Our sermon in a sentence is this: if we stand in the truth, we will not fall for the false. We have been told what the false looks like and where the false ends up, because God does not want us to stumble in falsehood. He wants us to accept his rescue, his protection, his deliverance. He promises to rescue us. And so live like Noah. Live like Lot. Know the truth so that you will not be fooled by the fake. Remain obedient to the truth no matter what those around you may espouse. If we stand in the truth, we will not fall for the false. So read this word for yourself. Don't just take my word for it. I might have smuggled something in just to prove my point. I didn't. I told you both times that what I said was scripture and it was not. Scripture does not say God helps those who help themselves. The scripture does not say fools rush in where angels fear to tread. But read this. Ask questions of God's word. Ask questions of one another. How do you interpret this? How do you understand this? And when there is a cleverly crafted, man-made plastic story, you can say, that doesn't square with this. I think they're trying to smuggle something in for their own personal gain. I know where they're headed. And maybe like Noah and Lot, we will be rescued, spared, protected, delivered. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and your truth, and we ask that you would encourage us to be students of your word, not of cleverly crafted stories. That we would not get our spiritual education from social media or celebrities, but we would get our spiritual training from your Holy Spirit through your word, carried by human authors over generations. Help us to be able to spot the fake by knowing so well the true. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.